Kia ora. Today is podcast 19, and we're looking at Jesus walks on the water. The gospel passage for today is Matthew 14, 22 to 32. So today we follow on from podcast 18, the miracle Jesus performed of the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle was a public miracle. Today's miracle, Jesus walking on the water, was a private miracle, one that was only witnessed by the disciples. Has anyone else ever walked on water? I guess the most recent example in our time would be June 2016, when the British magician and illusionist Dynamo walked a short distance on the Thames River. Various explanations have been offered for this, but the most popular one seems to be that a Perspex platform was built the previous night under cover of darkness, 15 to 20 centimetres below the surface of the water, for the magician to walk on. And this reminds me of the story of the rabbi, the Catholic priest, and the Anglican priest, who liked to go fishing together on their days off. One day they decided to go to a small lake that the two priests had been to before, but the rabbi had not. They arrive at the lake and launch their small boat and settle down to fish. The Catholic priest smokes a pipe, and when he gets it out, he discovers he's left his matches in the car on the shore. So he just hops out of the boat and walks across the water to the shore, gets his matches from the car, and then walks back. The Anglican priest doesn't turn a hair, but the rabbi is gobsmacked. Then the rabbi says to himself, "Come on, Jacob, you can do this. Didn't Moses part the seas with a command and a wave of his staff?" So the rabbi says nonchalantly, "I've got a bit of a sniffle. I'll just go and get my hanky from the car." And he hops out of the boat and plunges into the water over his head. As the Anglican priest and the Catholic priest haul the spluttering rabbi out of the water, the Catholic priest says, "Jacob, I'm so sorry. We forgot to tell you about the stepping stones." Back to the first century. A couple of points are noteworthy from Matthew's narrative. First, as I said earlier, this is a private miracle. It was witnessed by the disciples only. So if Jesus intended lessons to be learnt from this, it was the disciples that the lessons were intended for, not the crowd as a whole. Second, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him back to Capernaum. What this suggests to me is the disciples, some of whom were fishermen and knew the lake really well, saw the wind picking up on the lake and didn't particularly want to take the boat out onto the water. Galilee was renowned for its fierce squalls because of the way the winds can be funneled onto the lake by the surrounding hills. But Jesus insists they do this. It's unclear why. Maybe Jesus knew this would be a test of the disciples' faith. As so, the disciples, possibly against their better judgment in some cases, launch the boat and start across the lake. Jesus goes up the mountain on his own to pray. The disciples are rowing against the wind and making hard work of the journey back to Capernaum. Probably the journey would have been about 10 kilometres, and the disciples left in the late afternoon. But night comes, and they are still toiling against the wind. The Gospel of Mark adds the detail that Jesus came to them on the water in the fourth watch, which was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The disciples have been rowing for about 8 hours, and they are exhausted. Shortly before dawn, Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and at first they think it's a ghost. Remember, they're not close to shore. John's gospel account of this incident says they were 4 to 5 kilometres from land. Jesus reassures them, and Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus invites him to join him on the water. Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking towards Jesus, but starts to sink when he looks at the wind and the waves around him. Now, usually Peter gets quite a bit of stick for this from the gospel commentators and also a rebuke from Jesus. But my view is this. Peter was the only one of the disciples willing to get out of the boat. I think he deserves some credit for that. So Jesus reaches out and draws Peter out of the water. Then he and Peter get back into the boat. At once the wind dies down. The disciples in the boat declare, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Is this the purpose of the miracle? To confirm the disciples in their belief that Jesus is who he says he is. Maybe it is. Then they land at Gennesaret, presumably quite quickly, now the wind has died down, which is south of Capernaum and north of Magdala on the northwest side of Lake Galilee. So what are the storms in your life at the moment? They could be financial, physical, emotional, or spiritual. When we get storms in our lives, it becomes more difficult to focus on Jesus and his care for us. And this can also happen during the good times. We get complacent and take God for granted. One way to help with this is practicing the presence of God on a daily basis. Brother Lawrence, a Carmelite monk, wrote this series of teachings in letters in the 1600s, and this was first published as a book, The Practice of the Presence of God, in 1895. Note that Brother Lawrence was not a contemplative. He wasn't a monk who spent all his day in prayer. He was the cook at the Carmelite monastery he lived in, and so was occupied every day with the business of preparing and providing meals for the monks and visitors to the monastery. Now, recently in July, we had a family birthday, a combined birthday lunch for all the family members. There are five of us who have birthdays in July. I wasn't particularly involved with cooking for this event, but Debbie was. And cooking for 12 people is not the same as cooking for two people. It can become quite fraught. Debbie is a really good cook and the food was excellent, but it was by no means a relaxing or peaceful activity to be involved in. Yet this was the reality for Brother Lawrence. In this work of cooking meals and the associated preparation of food and tending the monastery garden, he learnt to practice the presence of God. The book Brother Lawrence wrote about the lessons he learnt is a spiritual classic and still available from a number of online booksellers. It is, however, written in 16th century English, so it can be hard to decipher if you are trying to read the original. But there are some key principles to this approach to daily life, and I'm going to list these now in modern English. First principle, begin your day by being intentional, praying to God and offering him your day. Second principle, turn complaints into cries of praise. Third principle, turn suffering into surrender. Fourth principle, turn the mundane into a holy moment. And finally, and the most important principle, seek to be in continuous contact with God throughout the day. So I've printed a summary of this in this week's newsletter. And if you want to do some homework for this week, your homework is to try it. Practicing the presence of God is not an easy thing to do. But when you get it sorted, you could really help you weather the storms of your life. When you're being battered by different problems, be they financial problems, health issues, emotional ups and downs, depression, or spiritual issues, practicing the presence of God can be an anchorage point that holds you steady through the day, each day.